Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Good afternoon, Heritage Radio listeners. This is Phil Colicchio. It's 5 o'clock on Wednesday, and that means you're listening to The Business of the Business, the program here on the Heritage Radio Network that explores the business side of the hospitality industry. We look at restaurants, we look at hotels, we look at hospitality professionals. We look at the business, the side that doesn't get as much attention as the sexy, food and room decor and things like that, but that allows the sexy food and outstanding decor to shine. We broadcast every Wednesday at 5 p.m., and if you miss this broadcast for some reason, every once in a while that happens, you can go to the archive at www.heritageradionetwork.org, click onto the business of the business, and listen to any one of the 20-some-odd shows that we've done in the past. Or you can get us as a podcast on iTunes. If it seems like I am excited today, that's because I'm excited today. I'm kind of like a kid in a candy store. I've got a guest today who is going to answer the eternal burning question of all restaurateurs. That question is, what's better? Having money for your project or not having money for your project? Well, I think we know the answer. It's having money for your project. But there's a lot of ways to skin that cat. Today, I've got an expert, Justin Blackhall, an attorney based out of New Jersey. And Justin is an expert in SBA loans, small business association loans, that can be beautifully employed in the hospitality industry, and in particular in the restaurant industry. I'm not going to gush because this guy's got so many good things to say, so I'm going to start out by saying good afternoon, Justin. Thanks for coming out to Brooklyn.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for having me, and I think it's safe to say that I've made it in the restaurant world when I've been invited to be on your show.
Well, you know, I think that's correct, actually, Justin. I think that's an accurate, I think that's an accurate assessment. All right, Justin, you're a lawyer. A lot of people are afraid of lawyers. They don't know what the heck we do. They don't know why the heck we do it. We're some sort of mystery warlock organization out there. The way I like to demystify what we do is to talk about our backgrounds, because very rarely do we come from the backgrounds people would expect. Tell people about your background. I think it's very meaningful to how you got into this type of the business that you're in.
Well, sure. I was born and raised on St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands, and I grew up in a restaurant. My father had an interesting concept. It was a Dairy Queen, but it wasn't your normal Dairy Queen. We had a two-story smokehouse in which we smoked chicken and ribs and 200-pound slabs of marlin that came in off the fishing boats. We had your typical grill establishment. We had a crew bar for the crew of the cruise ships and the other working boats, with live oysters and live seafood, and it was a great time and a great establishment. And
ice cream, oysters,
yeah,
beer, and fish.
Really good.
Can we open a restaurant here in Brooklyn? I think that's a theme that would. I think that's a theme that would travel.
We could, and I think the experience of that restaurant touches on your point. I later learned, you know, from my father, who's still best known for that restaurant, that he never made a dollar at that restaurant, even though every seat was full. And really, unless you're a one-hit wonder in this business, you need a smartly run organization, you need a strong base of capital, need money to fund your organization, or else you're not going to have a chance to hit your artistic stride. So as important as the artistic value of restaurants is, the money side's equally important.
I could not agree with you more, except to say I think that the financial side is probably more important, because unless you can manage that, your artistry, your craftsmanship is never going to see the light of day, or it will only see the light of day for a very short period of time. First of all, it's fascinating to me. For another time, over a beer, we can talk about how a guy goes from St. Thomas at a restaurant smoke shack, finds his way to law school, finds his way to the States, and then becomes an expert in this really unique financing component. How did you find the SBA, had the Small Business Association? How did that come into your realm of expertise?
Well, initially, I represented hospitality clients on the borrower side of the table, mm-hmm. representing real estate developers, hospitality clients, restaurant owners, getting loans. And then my practice grew to begin to represent lenders, non-bank lenders, institutional lenders. And when the credit markets dried up, more and more banks were unwilling to make conventional loans. And so more and more borrowers and more banks turned to SBA lending, business lending.
You know what? You used the phrase conventional loans. Quick description of what a conventional loan is.
Well, a conventional loan is a loan that a bank will make using its own capital and either hold the loan or sell it or do what it wishes to do with the loan. Once you get involved with the SBA, which is a government program with special charter to assist with small business growth, job creation, you've got to make the loan based on certain characteristics of the loan. You've got to follow regulations. And if a bank is willing to make those types of loans, the SBA, the federal government, will guarantee the repayment of that loan, which then encourages the bank to lend to someone they otherwise wouldn't have lent to.
Exactly. It's sort of like having Uncle Sam as your guarantor.
Agreed. Yes.
Right?
That's
and
right.
So I can certainly understand why that would be an enhancement to the lending community. When you first, I think the thing that I have seen in my practice is that there are so many regulations that restaurateurs have to deal with no matter what they're doing, whether it's building the restaurant out, operating the restaurant, health codes, plumbing codes, fire codes, all of this, that they get, I guess, what I call regulation fatigue, right? And so this Small Business Association loan, I think that maybe they don't quickly run to it because they presume that there's just a ton of paperwork and effort and detail that they don't understand. So I would imagine that having access to a professional like you would be a real benefit for a restaurateur.
Definitely. Now, our firm, having represented both borrowers and lenders, we've gotten to see a little bit of the behind-the-scenes view behind the closed doors of the credit committees and see what banks do and how they make their decisions. And we've represented the borrowers, so it gives me a chance to help borrowers understand exactly what they need to do. Now, once you're getting into the loan world, you're in a complicated world with regulations. The SBA loans are designed to simplify things, and what I've found is that most folks don't look to the SBA loan because they simply don't know about it. And one of the things I want to help today with is, how do you find it? What do you need to do?
It sounds like it's a really great arrow in the quiver of an entrepreneur who wants to open a restaurant. So we could do a little role playing later, but let me come at it really straightforward. Most of the people that I work with are focused on equity raise. That means that they go to friends, they go to family, they go to other people who have invested in restaurants who have at least some sense of the risk. They don't think about debt because they're afraid of what happens in the event that the restaurant doesn't work out. The downside, of course, of going to people for equity is that you own less of the enterprise. Entrepreneurs like to own most of the enterprise, if not all. Back to our joke, right? What's better, owning it or not owning it?
Well, you know, if you're prepared to get into a restaurant venture, you're prepared to take some risk. And you've got to you're right. With the lending process, you're going to have things like personal guarantees, things that are going to put you on the hook. But really, you're on the hook with an equity investment anyway.
Exactly. Life is a personal guarantee.
That's right.
If you're not going to stand behind your dream, who's going to want to invest in you? Who's going to want to lend you money? All right. So the SBA. Was it designed for restaurants? I mean,
it was. It was really designed to help a class of people who otherwise couldn't get funding, including riskier ventures. I mean, really, the classic example for one of the programs that I talk about is Dunkin' Donuts. Every Dunkin' Donuts in America is funded with an SBA, a 7A loan.
Wow.
You know, oftentimes, maybe an immigrant family, maybe a family who doesn't have much either credit history or commercial history,
right,
need a loan. They go into their bank, their local bank, which is where the SBA loans are made, which is one of the first things we'll talk about. And whereas they would otherwise be turned down by the conventional program, they can qualify for the SBA 7A loan, which is one of the smaller loans for startup businesses.
Let's talk about it. All right. Now I'll do a role play. My buddy Scanlon can cook up a storm. Scanlon wants to open a restaurant. Getting capital is tough. But I tell Scanlon, my buddy Justin Blackwell, who hasn't yet told us his phone number. I want you to do that right now.
It's 917-804-5923.
We're going to repeat that for all you entrepreneurs out there. Anyway, Scanlon says, I've hit the wall. I don't know what to do. I give her the name of
Blackhall
Justin
PC.
Blackhall. Blackhall PC. You just talked about a 7A. Easy for you, but Scanlon doesn't know what the heck that is. Tell us.
Well, the first thing I'm going to tell him before he even applies for a loan is to do the most important thing he needs to do before he even comes to see me, and that's to prepare his business plan. When you apply for a loan, you either have to meet lending guidelines or be approved by a credit committee, and either way, your idea, your qualifications, and the details of your plan need to be put onto paper.
Are you going to help Scanlon? Because a lot of people don't know how to do a business plan, and they think it's too complicated. Can you help Scanlon with a form?
I can, and one of the things I was going to say today is this. Unless you've got a lawyer and you've got some money to spend right up front, here's your first insider tip, the magical tool of Google.
Love insider tips. Love Google.
So before coming here today, I went on Google and I Googled restaurant business plans. Page one, the following three results. The restaurant business plan, sample demo. Number two, six helpful resources for creating your restaurant's business plan. And number three, examples of business plans for restaurants. So my first recommendation is go online, look for business plans for your specific type of operation, and read a few of them and come up with a business plan. Because even when you come to see me, you've got to have your plans on paper. If you've got an address, put it down. If you've got projected financials, put them there. Whatever you've got, put it on paper, because next, when you go into the bank or the credit committee, the more you give them, the more you dictate your story to them, the closer you are to getting approved for a loan. If you go in and you just sort of answer questions and then the credit committee or the person handling your loan writes up a report on you, he may not get it right. He may not think of you the way you think of you. He may miss certain details. The more you do for them in your business plan, the closer you are to getting your loan. So step one, that's
business
it.
Plan does not have to be complicated.
No.
A business plan can be 4 or 5 pages of relevant information. Most of the mistakes that I see, and I mean, this is where, you know, you and I do this business. So most of the mistakes that I see are in lovely, prosaic drafting, as opposed to, here's what my rent is. Mm-hmm. Here's what my employment costs are going to be. Here's how I think I'm going to price my food and my beverages. Here's why I think the concept will work. Because inevitably, my concept is like something else that people know, and you point out the similarities to some other successful businesses. What's the best thing? I mean, you gave the tip about getting your business plan together. Give an even more detailed tip. What's the first thing you have to make sure of that exists in the business plan to get the attention of that credit committee?
Well, you've got to have a formula that works up how much money you need, first of all. Because once you know how much money you need, or once you have an idea how much money you need, you're going to get put into a box as to what type of loan you need. Because that's the first the first figure as to which loan you're going to qualify for is the amount. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple of them, and we've got the five C's here. Now, you really can't, even when you're going for the SBA loan, you can't get away from some fundamental
Let's talk about it, man.
Tools. So what here they go. There's always the five C's, right?
Right.
The character. And have you managed other loans? What's your business experience? Have you had a restaurant before? Where are you coming from? What's your story, the personal story, right. And what your experience is? That's your resume.
Character.
The second, the credit capacity. So you really can't run from your credit score. If you've got a good credit score, great. If you don't, find someone who does. If you don't have a credit score, explain it.
Right.
Right? We know many people, both of us, right. who've succeeded on the second try.
Right.
So if you've got some dings, you can still get past it. You just got to explain it. The third one, collateral. This is the lifeblood of banks and the lifeblood of loans. Collateral is what is the bank going to take and sell if you don't repay your loan? Just because the SBA is going to pay back the bank doesn't mean that the SBA doesn't want to take your collateral. So you're going to purchase those things even if you don't have any. What you're going to do is you're going to buy items with your loan proceeds, and those are going to be the collateral. So you don't have to come to the table really with anything.
Right.
But you've got, again, it goes back to your business plan. Where are you going to be located?
Right.
Are you going to have a great lease in Manhattan? That's a valuable piece of collateral. Do you have an in to get a good lease?
Do you know what? I'm glad you said that. Most people don't think of leases as assets.
Oh, and they are.
But the concept is if I owe money on something, it's not an asset, but a lease is an asset. It allows you to do your business.
They certainly
What's
are.
What's that fifth C?
The next one is the comfort and confidence with your business plan and how accurate are the revenue and expenses projections. You know, expect the bank to make their detailed judgment. How much work did you put into it? How accurate are your figures? Did you do your math? I mean, really, we're talking about the, you know, is everything
This is
right?
a book report,
yeah.
right? And a book report you're going to read in front of class. And so what do? You take your book report, you practice it a couple of times, you're going to read it in front of class, and somebody's going to ask you some questions. It's really that straightforward. It's not a big mystery.
Right.
I don't think it is anyway. But again, I do this every day, and some people are focused on the, you know, are focused on the other side of it. My friend Jack Inslee out there wearing the Knicks hat, who are 2-0 as we speak in the playoffs, he's telling me that we need to take a little bit of time to promote the interests of S. Wallace Edwards, which we're going to do. I'm going to come back with Justin Blackhall. We're going to talk more about the SBA loans, get into the specifics. Phil Colicchio, the business of the business here on the Heritage Radio Network.
As always, this is Movement and Location by the Punch Brothers on heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit www.surreyfarms.com.
Hey, we're back. Happy to be back with my friend Justin Blackhall, SBA loan expert, attorney extraordinaire. And he drove out to Brooklyn today to be with me on the business of the business. We're really actually going to drill down now. All of you entrepreneurs out there, hit the Well, you don't have record buttons anymore. But but I would say make sure you listen to this part because we're going to get into the specifics. Again, though, before we do, contact information. I want listeners to be able to contact you. So telephone and email.
The firm is Blackhall PC. The email address is jblackhall, B-L-A-C-K-H-A-L-L, P-C, excuse me, jblackhall at blackhallpc.com. And the phone number is 917-804-5923.
Excellent. It's important because I think people are gonna be calling you. Okay. We talked about a moment ago an SBA loan that you referred to as 7A. What is that, and who qualifies for it? Does my buddy Scanlon, is that Scanlon wants to open that restaurant, is Scanlon going to qualify for that loan?
He most likely will. So first of all, let's talk about who qualifies in general for all the products. Now, a borrower must meet the SBA's definition of a small business, which makes sense, and must plan to use over half of the property that they're going to be financing for their operation. So a company's average net income, which is income after taxes and expenses, mm-hmm. can't surpass $5 million after taxes for the preceding 2 years if they have operating history. Okay. So if you don't have any, you're going to qualify
easy.
For that.
Right.
And the owners can't have a tangible net worth in excess of $15 million. So this is, again, available for startup small businesses, not for people who've already got sizable net worths. We're looking to help people who need help.
Or who are already in business, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
You can be in business and get an SBA loan.
You certainly can. You just you need to meet those thresholds.
Right.
If you're above them, there are other products available for you, but not the 7A.
If you're grossing $5 million a year, you probably aren't thinking about the SBA anyway.
Right. And okay. again, it's the net, so you can gross more as long as your net is below.
Okay.
The first product, which is by far the most common product, the SBA 7A loan. So remember first that private banks make the SBA loans. You don't have to go to Washington, D.C. to get one. You go into your local bank. Almost every bank in America participates in the 7A loan program. You're going to hand them your business plan, and you're going to say, I need a loan of, and this is the first thing to know, the maximum loan amount, $5 million.
Well, they're calling you first.
Right.
I mean, you're helping them. All right. They're not walking right. into the bank without talking to you.
Right. We figured this out before, so we're going to go in with our business
plan. Exactly. So you've given them some guidance here. But,
right.
Okay.
Minimum loan amount, $50,000. In New York City, really no one's going to fall below that minimum.
Well, this is a national broadcast. Right, Jack?
True.
There you go. So,
and the government's going to guarantee up to 85% of your loans, which is going to allow the bank, the private bank, to lend you up to $5 million. And now what can you do with the money? Because you've got to put out, you know, in your business plan what you're going to do with it, because only certain things can be financed. First, machinery and equipment, which every restaurant needs.
We're in the restaurant business, right? We can't operate without machinery and equipment.
Right. Second, working capital. Everyone needs working capital.
Got to have 90 to 120 days when you start a new restaurant.
Correct. Furniture and fixtures, lighting.
FF&E,
right.
as they call it in the biz, right?
Right. New construction of land and buildings, so your renovations that you're going to do to your space,
right.
as well as leasehold improvements, and in some cases, debt refinance. So if you've got an existing
right.
business, you can refinance some of your debt to a lower rate. So really, I just described what every restaurateur needs. So you say this 7A loan appropriate for a restaurateur, it was designed for restaurateurs.
Sure. But let's put a little bit of cold water on it. Not soft costs.
Correct.
The costs of your designer, the costs of your attorney.
And not perishables either.
Right. Not your inventory of,
right.
of food. Exactly.
Right.
Working capital is not about that.
No.
Right? We gotta make sure our listeners understand that. Working capital is paying your staff, paying your rent, doing all that stuff while you're getting up and running.
Correct. So if you're in the market for that kind of a loan for up to $5 million, you know, again,
what's the interest rate I'm looking at?
Well, you're going to be in the sixes right about now.
It's great.
Right. It's tied to, it can often be tied to the prime rates. It can vary by bank. So the SBA is not necessarily setting the rates. They're just guaranteeing the loan, and if you qualify for the loan, then the bank creates a package around that loan.
Right.
So you may still want to go and look for other bank SBA loans, but if you fit within that
box. By the way, you know, I had to interrupt you right there, because I deal with so many startups, right? Mm-hmm. And so the freak out of the startup is always the first 6 months. Working capital includes paying back your loans, right?
That's correct.
So you can actually use some of the proceeds it's not as if you have to sweat those right. first 120 days. That's part of working capital while you're building up your revenue base. Right?
That's a great point.
So it's really important to understand that you can actually use the loan proceeds to repay the loan during the first few months you're operating.
Yes, you can do that.
It's very important.
So to sum up with the 7A program, you're going to have the standard application process. You're going to go into any bank. You're going to look online for a bank promoting 7A loans. You can mm-hmm. fill out the same application everywhere, very standardized. So an easy, quick way. And again, my previous experiences, my examples are the Dunkin' Donuts or your typical leased restaurant mm-hmm. on 47th and 9th.
Right.
You need to get a lease. You need some working capital, some FF&E, some improvements, and some staff. $5 million up to. You're right in your sweet spot.
You mentioned another product that the SBA has called the 504.
Right. Now you're getting into you've now surpassed the 7A. You need something bigger.
Yeah.
The SBA 504 program, a little bit different. This is designed to provide financing for the purchase of fixed assets, which usually means real estate, buildings, machinery. Restaurant owners look to this product most of the time when they want to include ownership of the real estate with their restaurant, which really, with a lot of both of our clients, you look at a guy who bought the building. Not that everyone's got the opportunity to do that, but you look at a guy who bought the building in addition to the restaurant.
I'm going to use a phrase, right? The catering hall.
Yeah.
Right? Or Joe Lorenzo's sandwich making facility up in Bergen County, where he's doing sandwiches for the airports in our area. He acquired the real estate. That's what he does.
So this product might even open that window to you where you didn't realize you could find the financing to purchase the real estate. If you can include that, great. It doesn't have to be
a little more sophisticated business.
That's right.
Business
now,
model. Right?
You've got it first. You've got to have 10% equity injection.
There you go.
The second, and this is the way it works. We'll go through this quickly. The reason why a private bank will make this loan is the private bank is being asked to only fund 50% of the amount of money that you need. Banks, the typical amount of a loan is 90%.
Absolutely.
They're only being asked to fund 50. The SBA in this case is going to fund the other 40, and you're going to bring 10 equals 100.
So the banks should love doing SBA loans.
They do
should love,
it. Love
them, right?
Most of them do. You know, they've got to file the SBA requirements, and sometimes they don't like to do that. But
we, I'm glad you said it, Justin, because one of the things that a basic rule, right? If you don't ask, you don't get.
Yep.
You got to go in and you got to say, I'm interested in your SBA products, because the banks will make the lending officers make money off of what they lend.
Yep.
And they're not going to, they may not make as much money individually off of an SBA loan, so they might not steer you there. You got to educate yourself a little bit. Speaking of which, SBA website. Got to be a great website, right?
It's sba.gov.
Yep.
And it was one of the things I would mention at the end. I'm going to go back to using the internet instead of walking into banks. You've got to use the internet. sba.gov. Common sense explanations of these products, not designed for the professionals. The traffic to the sba.gov site is probably 95% professionals, 5% folks looking for
loans. I'll bet that's right. I'll bet that's right, because then we can explain them to our clients. But the restaurant industry is a DIY type of industry. There's a lot of guys and a lot of women who are perfectly comfortable, scrubbing the floor, doing the basics, and they're not afraid to go on a website and evaluate.
Yeah, I mean, I can't stress that enough. Mm-hmm. Using the web, yeah. Using Google searches, as we all know how to do. But when it comes to money, people are either afraid, don't think they know what to do.
They can Google Justin Blackall too.
They certainly can, and they'll find all sorts of interesting things there. So you've got your 504. The max loan there is about $11 million.
Right.
The SBA will lend up to $5 million. That's 40%. So you put that with the banks, 50% in year 10, you're going to get close to $11 million. You're going to get a very low rate from the SBA. This is the other benefit of the 504 program. The SBA's loan is going to be fixed rate 20 years.
That's tremendous.
And their rate is going to be, I've seen rates recently 4% and change. So when you blend that with the bank, the private bank's rate, which could be 6 or 7, you get a below market rate. You get a fixed rate from the SBA.
Dynamite.
And it is, uh, it's it's a good stabilizing piece. Now, here's something else interesting. There are limitations to how much money you can buy, you can borrow under the SBA 504 program. Recent developments, SBA 504 Green Program. If you improve the energy efficiency of a property that you may be buying or that you may have by 10% or more, you get special treatment on the program and no limits.
Wow!
So
no limits.
Some of the borrowers that I represent, some of the real estate investors and restaurateurs, are lining up their applications because they had previously hit their maximum SBA Green Program.
Wow.
So those of you who've got 504 loans, there is no limit if you use the Green Program.
Wealth of information. Couple practical questions for you. How long does it take from the time you submit your business plan? Let's presume you've created a business plan that is understandable and that the bank can get behind. From the time you submit to the time that you are in line to receive funding, let's talk about 7A for these purposes.
Fine.
What should somebody budget in their heads, time-wise?
Well, with respect to a 7A loan, you can be approved in as little as 60 days. The 7A loan is very, it's got a very clear box as to who fits in and who doesn't. The SBA guidelines are clear. The applications are standardized. You can even fill them out online. I've seen them approved with previous borrowers who've already been approved in 30 days, but you're looking at probably a 60-day window. You could close in 90 to 120 days.
What kind of out-of-pocket expenses should I be thinking about? Well, I got to tell Scanlon, like, how much money she needs to at least have in her pocket.
Well, the first thing is you're going to pay a bank fee.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the standardization of the 7A program, which means you don't need lawyers and professionals to draft every set of loan docs and get involved, you've got lower costs. So you may be looking at a $1,000 fee to the bank. You may be looking at, as much as a $500 prep fee for the documents. And the other expense that's always going to be there if you're acquiring land, if you're buying land, are the title expenses and closing expenses.
Right.
If you're getting a lease, you don't have those situations. And you've got your attorney. You're looking at, for a 7A loan, $2,000, $3,000 to close a loan because, again, everything is standardized. There's really not much negotiation. If you came to the table with $10,000 for your expenses, you'd be covered easily.
All right. You mentioned something. I'm going to put a plug out there for our brethren. All right. Of course, you don't need a lawyer to do this. You don't need a certified plumber to fix your toilet either.
Right.
But the likelihood of that toilet getting more screwed up if you don't have a certified plumber is much higher. So, when I need heart surgery, I call a heart surgeon. I think anybody who's going to do this, part of this team concept that we've talked about before, when we talk about the professional team you need in this business, you need a good lawyer. You need a good insurance representative. You need a good contractor. Justin, there's much more to talk about, but we can't talk about all of it today. So I hope what we'll do is come back. Maybe we'll bring some more team members back and talk about it sort of in a team concept. Before we sign off, 7A, 504, other types of loans. Give our audience a takeaway, and please give them your contact information again.
Well, what I would tell listeners out there is that the SBA is a powerful tool for restaurateurs. Instead of the last place they look, it should be the first place that they look. Banks are not scary, and with the right professionals on your team, you really can benefit a great deal from these products. The products were designed, they're funded by us. We pay our taxes.
It's patriotic, man.
We should use these
damn
products.
Right.
And, they create jobs. They help people. And we really, you have funded the government, who's now funded the SBA. Take advantage of them. Go to SBA.gov, review the products. And then, if you've got an attorney, great. If you need one, call me.
How do they get you?
They can get me at Justin Blackhall, 917-804-5923, or jblackhall@blackhallpc.com.
Call the guy, email the guy. I'm going to do it. I'm thinking of starting a business just to take advantage of this this great cheap money. Justin, again, thanks for coming out here. This is Phil Colicchio, and I hope you got as much out of that as I did. I thought that was a really informative 30 minutes. Phil Colicchio on the business of the business. Take care. See you next week. Justin, what do you say we finance one of these pizzas I see out the window?
I would love that.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.